Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
It was just the most massive thing I've ever seen. To tell you the honest truth, I thought, well, we're the only ones left on this planet. Something's happened. We've missed something here.
The fear that went in me when I seen it was just the feeling. I'd say it was fear, but I've never felt that feeling before in my entire life.
It's a weird feeling. Like, you can't explain it when you don't know. You feel like you're being followed, but you don't know what it is.
We had two to our right, another one in front of us, another one to the left, and another one just across the road, shaking the daylight out of the tree. All we get was a big red eye.
I remember waking up and looking at the end of the bed, and there was a figure there, almost insect-like, and then I blacked out.
Welcome to the show, everyone. My name is Cade Moyer, and you are listening to the Believe Paranormal and UFO Podcast. If you have had an encounter and would like to share it, please get in touch with me. My email address is believepod@gmail.com. If you enjoy the podcast, be sure to leave us a rating or review wherever you listen and head on over to our website, believepod.com, and consider becoming a member to get bonus episodes and video content. Well, James, man, this conversation went in a completely different direction to where I thought it would, and I'm not even complaining about it because I love talking about Bigfoot, I love talking about UFOs, and when those two kind of conversations meet in the middle, I think it's a good day when that happens.
Yeah, you want to hear my crazy UFO story?
Mate, if it gets crazier than that, yes, I do.
This is my craziest story by far. I had a buddy, he was a university professor, and I was telling him, I said, I think, you know, because it seemed like you could have some kind of telepathy with him to a certain level, and I always had the feeling like I could get picked up by him if I wanted to. So I told my buddy, but part of me was saying, like, don't do that, but part of me was saying, like, dude, go for a ride. But then I remember Travis Walton's movie. And that did not look fun.
Oh, yeah, that would be terrifying if it was like that.
Right. And so anyways, this guy came up. We went out there, and we went out to this rock that sticks way out in the ocean, Wedding Rock. It's kind of famous. Anyone that's traveled the coast out here would know what it is. We were out there by ourselves. You know, it's wintertime. This is the fourth year into it. This was 93. And I said, all right, let's go for a ride. I said, well, we'll go out there and sit like the girl showed me. You know, we'll sit in that lotus position and just start concentrating on, we want to go for a ride. Come pick us up. And we did. And we're sitting there doing that for about 5 or 10 minutes or something. And then way out, the one that she called the mothership, the red and white one, dropped down, like just dropped like a, you see a spider just drop, and then like it just stops, like boink, because it just stopped putting out webbing, and it just kind of bounces, stops. It was like that. That's what it reminded me of. And then it just started. It was way out over the horizon. Then it just started. You could tell it was coming at us very rapidly, and I was like just frozen, like, oh my god, like this is happening, like no effing way, this is insane. I look over at my buddy. I'm like, I couldn't talk. And then I got the worst dread I've ever felt. Like just this overwhelming, and this voice inside of me was saying, Bobes, do not get on this thing. This is not your friend. This means you harm. This is not going to be good for you. Get up and go. Don't get on. And it was like this internal fight. Like it was like I was frozen. Like I couldn't move. Like I was just, I couldn't. Then my inner voice said, you better get your shit together and get out of here, move. And then I just remember shaking my head like a movie, like where you're like literally shaking your head side to side going like, "Who?" And I jump up and I grab my buddy and I said, "Let's go, let's go." And he looks at me and his eyes are, he's just frozen in panic. Like his eyes are popping out of his head. He couldn't believe what he was seeing. We both couldn't. I said, "Go." And he just wouldn't move. And I reached down and slapped him in the face really hard, grabbed him by his hair and his shirt and started dragging. And it's all rock. Like it's this giant rock and all the steps and seats and everything are carved out of the rock. So I'm dragging him down this rock. This, I don't know, 80 feet high or whatever, 100 feet or whatever. And I start dragging him and he starts going, blah, blah, like waking up. Then all of a sudden he comes to and just starts, almost knocks me off the side of the freaking cliff to go past me. We run down the backside of Wedding Rock. And then so now the rock's between us and this ship that's coming flying in over the water. And so we run down, we get to the bottom, and then you have to go back up the cliff face. There's a zigzaggy trail that goes up that takes you back up to the bluff, and the park's all on a bluff up there. It's 100-something acres, a couple hundred acres or something. And so we're running up into there, and there's the bushes, these thickets and stuff are, I don't know, probably 8 feet to 10 feet high in places. And we're running up, and I'm looking over my shoulder. I'm like, "Oh, good, it's not there." And we're getting up near the top at this point. I look over, and I see red and white glowing on the cliff face on the other side of the rock that sticks out further to sea than the rock does. And all the sea lions, there's a sea lion breeding colony there and a fur seal breeding colony right there. And they both were going in just crazy. There's several hundred pinnipeds, marine pinnipeds going, "Arr, arr, arr." You hear them jumping in the water. They were going crazy. They were just erupting. And we ran up, we kept running. We ran up into the parking lot and we stopped, and sure as shit, dude, like you remember in Mr. Close Encounters of the Third Kind?
Yeah. Yeah.
The movie.
Yeah.
You remember those little, UFOs that got chased down by the cop and they run through like the toll booth and all that?
Yeah.
This was exactly, whoever made those props for that movie had seen a real UFO, because they made those just miniature of what this thing was. This thing was 30 to 40 feet tall. It was shaped like a lava lamp, an upside down lava lamp, and it just pulsed. Like you couldn't see like distinct, and it just flew silently, like hovering. It flew up and over us, and oh, there was two red basketball looking, like I guess you call them orbs, like just red glowing basketballs swirling around it, like a Miss USA contest beauty contestant sash, you know, it goes like from left shoulder to your right hip.
Yeah, yeah.
So say like this UFO represents the torso. There was like one sash going like right shoulder to the left hip, and then left shoulder to right hip. They weren't hitting each other, but they were doing the same pattern just reversed on each side of it. So they were really fast. They were going like that, and we just watched this thing, and it was so nuts because we both just tilted our heads back, and as it flew over us, I mean, it was just above the treetops, and it was within a couple hundred feet of us. Didn't feel any heat, didn't sense anything. There was no air coming out of it. It just floated silently. It floated up over us, went past us, and as it flew over us, we both, and if anyone ever goes to Patrick's Point State Park and looks, it's where the life-size gray whale is painted in the parking lot. That's where it was. We were inside that gray whale painting, and it flew over us, and we both tilted our heads back, and we didn't turn around. We just kept tilting our heads back, and we both fell on our backs, like kind of got hurt, like fell on the asphalt. It was just such a stupid, like, who just keeps tilting back till they fall? Like, that's like what a toddler does, like, you know, like an 18-month-old kid or something. But we both did it. And then we were sitting on the ground looking up. I remember I scraped my elbow real bad. It was bleeding. It was like gravel and stuff up there on top of it was broken down asphalt. And this, like, we didn't see any opening open, but just this hockey puck looking thing came out of it. It was about 5 feet long and about 2 feet tall, 2.5 foot tall, something like that. And it just came out, like, it just came out of it. And it, and then the bigger one kept floating back up over the trees. And then over the course of like 45 seconds to a minute, like at least 100 of these red orbs just went choo, 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 shot out of the little hockey puck thing. Just those same red balls that were flying around the outside of the big ship. Just, they started just firing out, just shoot. They, it was like they were coming out like 100 miles an hour. And within less than 10 feet, they were like just floating, like slowly, gently floating. And they were going all over the place. Someone told me their sensors, like they're like, they, whatever. And a couple of them, or some of them, flew down where the seals and sea lions were. So yeah, they, and then at this point, we were just both tripping. And this, all of a sudden we hear, I'm like, dude, let's get out of here. Like, I did not want to get picked up. So we started walking, and there was a family roasting hot dogs and marshmallows in the tree line, not far from us at all, oblivious to the whole thing. They're all the kids and the parents are staring at the fire, holding like their sticks with the marshmallows. Then we heard two different vehicles. I remember one was an old, like Brady Bunch style station wagon, just ripping out of the parking lot, up where some other campers were, just like hauling ass, like burning rubber. Like, and there's ranger cops that are like, they're real strict. They live on premises. Like, it's not a place to screw around. Like, you don't do shit like that, you get arrested. And this station around, a bunch of people are like yelling and screaming, just goes flying. Then another car goes flying out. And this dude, this like kind of small, kind of stocky looking hippie guy, is running out. You could hear all his tent stakes and stuff dragging, clinging. He was dragging his tent with his sleeping bag over his shoulder and his backpack over his other shoulders. He looks over us, and we're kind of jogging, and he's sprinting through the meadows. And he looks over us and goes, "There's some weird fucking shit going on here, man." We go, "Yeah." And then he ran. We were heading back because we weren't parked in the park, because they charged like a day fee, whatever. So we just parked outside the gate and walked in like the 15-minute hike through the woods. So we were heading back that way, and we saw several groups of campers like further in the distance in the trees, you know, at their campfires. It wasn't very crowded. Like, it was pretty empty, really, because it was winter. As we're hiking out, we had to go past the park employee housing, and there was a couple ranger. Well, one ranger and the other one was like a biologist or something. We're sitting, this guy and girl, we're sitting on the back porch watching, just staring. I said, "You guys call this in? Did you call this in?" They're like, just smiled and shook their heads no. And I said, "Can you believe this shit?" Like, they're just like nodding. They weren't talking. They were just nodding their heads and smiling like, "Yep, yep, this is, we see this all the time," kind of vibe. And I was up there a lot, and I never saw anything like I saw that night. And we just never saw that hockey puck followed us. It followed us for a ways above the tree line. Like, it was kind of flying over where the people were, but and the trees are so thick and tall that they couldn't see it. But some people saw it, but not as many that should have. And we were walking across the meadow. Actually, we were walking across the meadow. We cut across. Do you remember the original Jurassic Park? Remember when the velociraptors come from all six directions and like it's an overhead like drone shot, and like you see them coming? That was the actual meadow they filmed that in. That's what we were walking through.
Oh, wow.
That happened. Yeah. Kind of just another coincidence. But yeah, that was the only time I ever got close to one, or one came close to me, I should say.
What goes through your mind in a situation like that? Because are you thinking like, damn, this is a UFO, like this is crazy? Or are you thinking, what the hell's going on? Like, you just can't fathom it. And now, a quick word from our sponsor.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Also, are you wanting more content? Why not become a Believe Plus member? You'll get access to exclusive podcasts and episodes that aren't available to the public. Not only that, you'll also get our regular feed without any ads. Head to believepod.com/plus to sign up today for just $5 a month.
You're in shock. Like, you're processing it. Like, because at this point, they've been 4 years into this, you know, and it was shocking, but I've always been pretty calm and collected in hectic, stressful situations. Just like, you know, working on crab boats and surfing, you know, big waves, being in life and death situations a lot, you learn to like control your breathing, stay focused, don't panic, just don't panic.
I think it says a lot about you as a person to not kind of have a freak out or just have a bit of a meltdown essentially about what you've just experienced, because a lot of people will absolutely go down a rabbit hole after that because
it
breaks the paradigm.
Yeah, I dropped out of school, actually. I was going to university.
Wow, because of this event?
Not that one, actually. The earlier when I was like, why are they, like, this is the most important story in the world. Like, these people don't know shit. If they don't even know about, I knew they didn't know about Bigfoot. They weren't teaching that. They don't know about UFOs either. Like, what am I didn't, who knows about these things? I want to learn from the people that know about these things. These are what are blowing my mind.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. It's, I have to ask, like, you've had these pretty profound experiences with UFOs. What do you think they are in your opinion, based off the events that you've personally experienced?
I'd say there's no way. I've had other sightings, and you know what's funny, dude, is all the ones I've seen are all totally different. None of them have looked the same at all. Like, when I could actually see a structure shape, because usually it's just, I mean, I said I've seen them over 100 times.
Far like out.
95 of those times it was just pulsating dots flying erratic in the sky.
Yeah.
But then before that, in 1990, before that, 91, when the the Netherlands accused the USA of flying secret military weapons over to the country, and it was like, I remember it was on ABC Worldwide News. I saw it on that our ABC, and it was big news for, like, you know, like, it was in the papers and everything. I saw a black triangle flying up over the same highway, but south where the first one was, probably by 25, 30 miles south of there, over the one that went on 4th of July. It's like our biggest summer holiday. It was 4th of July weekend. It was the Saturday night before 4th of July. I think it was the 3rd. And the roads were packed. And it was, the sun was down. There was blue to the west, dark to the east. And I could barely make out this shape coming down, flying over the highway. And it was this big black triangle. The woman driving, I said, pull over, pull over, pull over. And her kid was about 7 or 8, and her and I were looking out through the windshield, and I jumped out, I watched it fly right over our heads. And the weird thing is, I've never heard anyone say this about their triangle sightings, black triangles, was that, so you got your 3 points, obviously. It acted like it was like a, you know, like when they put those blow up inflatable gutter, so you can't throw a gutter ball when kids bowl.
Oh, yeah, you know, like, I mean? Yeah, I know what you mean, yeah.
And they're like, they'll throw a bowling ball down, and it pins off each side, bounces. It's going in one direction, but it's bouncing back and forth different directions as it's going that one overall direction. That's what this was doing. But each time, like it would go like a couple hundred yards that way, it would spin. And then so say there's A point, B point, C point are the 3 points. So like A point would lead, it would bounce off like, say, the left side, then B point would be the lead point, then it would bounce off the other side of the lane, and then it would bounce off, go to the other side, then C point would be like the lead point. Like, it kept rotating, like there was no front or back.
Yeah, right.
And there was no other lights. I see all the illustrations, I see there's a yellow or white circle light in the each corner. There was nothing like that. This was solid black. It was about 100 yards on each side.
So it's a fairly big craft, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. And then I've seen two really huge ones One was right in front of my house. It was I live right on the ocean, and the clouds are blowing in off the real low clouds, like 500,000 feet up maybe. And it was blowing pretty good, probably 15 knots blowing inland. And it was patchy. It was, you know, about 85% cloud cover or something, 80% cloud cover. There's this weird, odd cloud going against the wind coming towards us. Not directly. It was about a mile south of us, but coming in our general direction. And as there was some gaps in the clouds, like it looked like there was like a little bit of lightning, like heat lightning or something going on in there. I was telling my neighbors, who weren't the best witnesses, because the mom's a little nutty and the daughter has really bad night vision, but they could both make it out. And so we're like just tripping out on it, going, "Oh my, this is insane!" And this is after I'd had a lot of other experiences. And it was like a giant, like there was nothing aerodynamic about it at all. It was like, it looked like apartments and buildings and offices all bolted onto this huge, like metallic box, like just metallic boxes all attached together with like lights pulsing in different places. Looked like a flying city. But I don't even know how big that one was. It could have been up to like a quarter mile long.
Yeah. Yeah. I've heard, you know, people come on the show and talk about UFOs that are like a kilometer long and, you know, big as a football field. And it's got to make you think, like, what is responsible for something like that?
Yeah. And the fact that, I mean, anyone that was looking at the night sky, it would be like, why is that cloud that has like, looks like it has, because we never get lightning on the coast, like maybe I can count on, it doesn't even take one hand to count how many times, because it's just wet air hitting wet air here. There's no dry air hitting, not until they get over the mountains inland, the thunderstorms develop. So it was odd enough seeing like this different colored cloud flying against all the clouds coming towards it. And it was just, I mean, we heard, well, on some of these events I'm talking about, on the local radio station, I did hear people call in and report seeing the lights. And this one, there was a buddy of mine that lived miles, God, he lives 8 miles from me. He was watching the same thing from his porch. He saw it, but he's obviously 8 miles away, but he said, he estimated it to be he said he saw the whole thing. At one point it kind of lost its cloud cover. He said, he could judge it pretty well because it was flying over the peninsula, and the peninsula is a half mile wide. He said it looked like it was about half the width of the peninsula.
That's massive, isn't it?
Oh, it's just massive. Yeah.
It's really hard. Yeah. It's hard to justify like what you're seeing. And if you're seeing a craft that big, it would be so difficult to really just justify that to yourself. Like, is that real? Am I seeing this? But when you've got multiple people seeing the same thing in the same location, you know, it really does start to add way more credence to it, because it kind of, I guess, proves that you're not seeing this. Like, you're not making it up. It's not imaginary.
Right. Yeah, I mean, it's great to have multiple witnesses always.
But Bobo, you are the most interesting person I've ever spoken to, mate. I feel like I could talk to you for hours on end. This could blow out to a 4-hour podcast, I think.
you've heard all my best, craziest stuff already.
Oh, I doubt it. I doubt it. I reckon we probably only touched the tip of the iceberg with you, my friend. But before I let you go tonight, it's been an absolute pleasure to chat with you. You know, I feel like I've known you for years. I've watched you on TV basically night in, night out for the better half of a decade. And it's a real treat to chat to you here in person tonight, because I feel like it's a real treat for me, essentially. But before I let you go, where can people find out more about you? Like, what are you up to at the moment? Things like that, because you are a very, very busy individual.
I'm working on these documentaries. I got held up had some revenue sources not come through, and so I'm on hold right now, but we're getting ready to get back into it. I just found out, I talked to an attorney today, and I'm going to get money in about 11, 12 days, so then I'll be back up and finishing those up. Then I do a podcast with Cliff, the guy from the show with me, called Bigfoot and Beyond with Cliff and Bobo. It's on, you know, whatever, all the podcast places. And then what else? I got a page. I just been posting a little bit on there lately. I don't get on there a whole lot, but I do sometimes just get on James, then in quotation marks, Bobo, Faye, and like Dash, Finding Bigfoot. That got set up for me when I was doing the show. And since I already had like 50,000 people on it, I just left it. You can't change the name, so I just left it like it is. So that's where I post. And on our podcast, we just had a guy named Joe Perdue on. He got thermal footage that he just released that is pretty good. I mean, it's not as good as what you guys got down there, but knowing all the circumstances, that if the thing was huge in comparison, they had to get rappelling ropes to get down where this thing was, and it was walking around at night without a light.
Oh, that's the one looking down the cliff face, isn't it?
Yeah,
that's good. Yeah, it's really good.
Yeah, I was going to put a link up to that up tonight on my page. Because when I was looking at a couple days ago before I went back down in the hills to get cut wood and stuff, like no one had seen it. I think it only had like 250 views or something. It had already been up for like 10 days.
Yeah, that's crazy. Yeah, it's fantastic footage.
Yeah, I think so. There's more to come, man. I mean, Moneymaker's got his drone army he's working on. It looks like he's getting some sponsors. So he's organizing these big drone fleets, getting like all these thermal drones and like getting together ahead of time and working out like, you know, because they can program them to fly grid patterns. So to get grid patterns going with like, you know, dozens of thermal drones at once.
That's incredible.
So there's stuff in the works. And then if this oil patent thing comes through, like they got these crazy, like he's going to be set. I mean, just he'll have money he could wipe his ass with $1,000 bills the rest of his life. And he's down for backing me on squatching.
Yeah, that's cool. That's what you need in this kind of field, is someone who's going to kind of cover those expenses, and you just do the hard work essentially.
Yeah. I mean, cause I honestly, like I didn't get paid for like months and months, and I haven't even had gas money to go out, and people are always telling me like, oh, you know, well, we want to support you, we'll, you know, start a Patreon. But I'm just like, you know what, I'm a grown ass man, I should be able to take, I'm not gonna, you know, take money out these hardworking people, like they just want to donate money all the time. To I don't have my therm broke again, and I'll take money from this guy if he's got that much money. I'm like, shoot, you know, I don't have any qualms taking money from him.
Well, no, that's fair enough too. I totally respect that. It's you know, there's a lot of people out there who kind of do the fundraising for their events and stuff like that beforehand. I think Small Town Monsters are a really good version of that, where they kind of do an annual campaign and they go out and make 4 billion bloody docos in a year. I don't know how the guys do it. But yeah, that seems like a really effective way for them. But I totally get your point of view.
Well, that's different. I mean, I don't blame. I mean, he should be doing that. He's making documentaries. Like, well, because people they want me to broadcast live from the field, and I'm just I'm just not into it. I'm not a content creator. You know,
Bobo the influencer.
Oh yeah.
Well, Bobo, it's been fantastic talking to you tonight, mate.
You too, kid.
It was a real pleasure, and I really do want to thank you for taking the time out of your busy schedule. I know it was a really big effort for you to get back to your recording studio in time to do this. So you know, I appreciate that effort, and I'm sure our listeners will too.
All right, good day, everybody.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Believe Paranormal and UFO podcast. If you have had an encounter and you would like to share it, please get in touch with me. My email address is believepod@gmail.com. Finally, don't forget to follow us on all our social media outlets, and be sure to join our Discord server to talk to other listeners of the show. You'll find all these links in our show notes. Thank you.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.